Stoughton, from my home to yours. Welcome to EMS at Sea Level. I'm with Sebastian Charles, who is the founder of Luminova. Sebastian, before we get into the big news you've got at the moment, let's just start with an introduction to you and to your company.
At Luminova, we are building next generation software for the electronics industry because we really feel that the industry deserves some fresh eyes and some modern software solutions. We particularly started with building a software for the EMS industry, which we call LumiQuote, which helps EMS companies, mostly high mix, low volume companies, to move from like a RFQ to like a delivered quote in no time, making this very instant, data-driven and collaborative.
Where is that solution in terms of its development and delivery to market?
We only started 1.5 years ago, but with like a fully fledged team that can like has shown in the past that it can build like scalable cloud solutions. And we've launched in this February, and now in the last 7 months, we have already acquired 25 active accounts. Now we've moved past the better stage, and continuously, of course, shipping new modules. But the core module is already up and running and used successfully by quite some companies.
Okay, and tell me a bit about the acquisition that you're announcing.
Yeah, so I mean, as we are digitizing the whole supply chain of EMS companies, there's already some great solutions out there for talking to your distributors via APIs, which especially in the current times gives you an instant feedback of what the stock locations look like, what the prices look like. So that part is already greatly accelerated, but there's still one of these big bottlenecks, and that's the PCB itself, right? Because the printed circuit board is still like a custom part that normally has to go through a manual quoting process because there are no APIs as of now really available for these parts because it's just a lot more complex, just asking for an MPN. And here is where the acquisition comes in, because there is a Wiesbaden-based company, a small boutique that has been heads down with 5 people focusing on building a like software suite for PCB manufacturers that really covers it all, from you sending an email to your PCB manufacturer, they will receive another tool, having a Gerber viewer, a stack up, a panel designer, a pricing engine, everything you really need in one tool to deliver a price back. So no old legacy softwares and Excels needed more anymore. And this solution is already it's itself a great solution for PCB manufacturers, which needs scaling. But on the other hand, it has so much synergies from modules that you could just bring into LumiQuote that you can already do all the visualization and also the online DFM check that comes with it directly in LumiQuote. So you don't even send out requests to PCB manufacturers where it's flawed anyways and you have to talk to your OEM. So this kind of ping pong is kind of eliminated. So by like acquiring Electronic Fellows with their stack rate with a stack rate product and bring it into the Luminova ecosystem, we can really pull out these synergies, allowing you to like get PCB quotes also at the click of a button.
Okay, so you've got the PCB quote and you've got the bill of material. Makes perfect sense in terms of products. What did the overlap of customers look like? Is this acquisition going to bring you some customers you didn't have and bring them access to customers they didn't have?
Yeah, so I think there was no immediate customer overlap as of now. They're like a first small customer base. We had ours, but without saying too much, there's already, of course, people on our side pushing towards, hey, like we want to have a quick experience on the quoting side, and have been already talking to some of their customers of, hey, can you somehow make an API available for us? And these customers, or like soon to be customers, had like a hard time building this on ourselves or themselves. And now with us also fueling their product development, it's like these synergies becoming more clear, and we can now talk everyone at the same table, talk to each other, and see how we can build such an instant quoting mechanism and bring this to life. So there, the synergies are already very vital.
And that it makes a lot of sense in terms of the product. But what about the two teams? How have you kind of married those two teams? Because to a degree, I guess, I don't know how long they've been around. Are they a pseudo startup, or have they been around and established for some time?
They've been around for like 2 years. So I think their journey and their product also started at a similar time than ours. But of course, our product has been already, the team has been a lot bigger. So the product could run a little bit faster and grow faster from the team size. But I think at the first time, it's super important that you just really get along as a team on a personal level. And we've invested, mm-hmm. of course, in like building and testing this relationship. And we're 100% on board that everyone shares the common values and operating principles. So I think that was one of the cornerstones for making this happen. But how it looks like right now is that we've anyway committed to a hybrid setup in what comes to team. We have our headquarters in Munich, but I've already started hiring people fully remote from Helsinki, Zurich, even to Nairobi in Africa. And kind of this hub and spoke model is probably something that we'll anyway start to enforce more, having these hubs now Munich and the second hub being now close to Wiesbaden, like in the mid of Germany, but and also having fully remote people. And as soon as a center of gravity emerges, there's one coming up in Berlin now, then we'll probably have from co-working setup or like this local team that can then also do stuff together, but always make sure that it stays a hybrid inclusive company and thereby marrying them together pretty nicely.
Yeah, I think that's really important. And it's important, particularly at the moment, to be able to bring those teams together and to be able to work entirely remotely. Interesting to hear that you're using outsourced software or remote software workers as far away as Nairobi. Have you found it easy to recruit talent in your journey?
I think so. We always had times where we had a specific offer to make to the different talents. And I think that's always important to you because there are so many startups looking for, product people, engineers, but also people in sales and marketing, that you have to somehow know what's your value proposition besides your company, but for that specific role. And I think for looking at the engineering side, we have now dedicated ourselves to a very modern stack when it comes to the programming languages. We're using Rust as a backend, Python for the machine learning services and TypeScript in the front end, which was funnily just announced by the survey that GitHub did by the three most important languages to learn. So we're having a modern stack, I think that's a value proposition you need to have. And that is also where new talent comes in, but then of course also communicating your vision broadly, making sure that people know why this matters, because as you know, as much as me, the electronics industry is not something that that comes up easily in a dinner conversation, only if you really challenge people to think, hey, do you actually know how our electrified world is built and what processes are currently in place? And I think that was vital to us, both things, like knowing what you can offer to talent, but also telling them where the journey goes. And for us, coming to your question, we deliberately decide against, full offshoring teams or agencies. Mm-hmm. We would only hire dedicated individuals who will be treated as they would be on site, but just as currently just doing working remotely. Like we're also allowing a lot of our employees at the moment to completely do flexible home office. Even they would be in Munich, they could go in, but they only decide to come in a few days a week because they feel some days they're more effective at home. And I think that's great that COVID has all pushed us all out to allow this flexibility for the first time and now realize what the benefits are, but also what the challenges are.
Yeah. Yeah. And, we've spoken before and I've always thought, well, you've got some fairly ambitious goals, but you've been able to deliver a product to market. You've been able to get customers on board, and now this will accelerate your ambitions, I guess. What are you expecting to do in the coming months and years?
And so I think till the end of the year, it's really for us full focus on making these synergies really shine and our both products shine together. So both getting more traction in both products, but also making all the integrations work so it can really deliver value to our customers. And then I think the first half of 2022 will for us be really focused to also bring some of the first ideas that we have to the OEM market, because we feel that making these costs and risks in the value chain downstream instantly available is one, makes the processes better, but also makes it transparent at other points in time. But this idea of shift left can then, of course, be really truly delivered as the first value proposition to the OEM. Nailing that, and I think with that whole joint story, we'll also be looking for capital next year again, like in a Series A financing, to really double down on our ambition and be able to scale a team even further, where we're really aiming to like double the team every year now. And that, of course, needs like one, like as you said, good access to talent and dedication to hiring, but of course also the capital to really grow faster that you could organically.
Yeah, you've got to grow the business aggressively, and it's clearly a market that needs it. You know, when we look at the way the supply chain is at the moment, we've had numerous disruptions one after the other. We've got a issues like sustainability and carbon footprint of supply chains to deal with, and having some digital some serious digital transformation of the entire supply chain, and in fact the entire manufacturing ecosystem is going to be essential. And it's the level of complexity of the data just screams out for AI supported solutions. So I think you have a very positive future and a big opportunity in the industry. So that's exciting.
Yeah, really. Also, when we decided to go that round and basically bring our software and AI skills to this market, we were bullish at that time, but I'm even more bullish now, because I really see that also, like crises like the chip shortage and stuff, really for the first time bring it up to the mainstream, that people for the first time can't get their PS5s and can't get their cars, and for the first time realize how complex and how sophisticated the supply chain already is, but still how antiquated some of the software solutions are. Where I'm always saying it's like such a paradox that despite the electronics industry being so much on the forefront of innovation when it comes to the own processes, it's often that rather a laggard than an innovator on a larger scale. And I think that's like a huge opportunity.
Yeah, no, I absolutely agree. And I think too much has been focused on the digital transformation of the factory floor and not enough on the business processes. And that's where that's where you'll win, Sebastian. Thanks so much for your time. Thanks for sharing the great news with us. Congratulations again on the acquisition, and look forward to talking to you again soon. Thank you.
Same here. Thank you so much for having me.